Ms. Smith?
Call Dwayne Phillips.
Good afternoon again.
Mr. Phillips, you understand, of course, that your testimony continues under oath and subject to the penalties of perjury.
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
Ms. Smith.
Mr. Phillips, could you utilize Exhibit 12J and Exhibit 7 to the extent you need it to explain why Route A was selected over the other routes?
Yes, I can. If we could draw your attention to Exhibit 7, the questions that we've heard so far have been in regards to Route A, which on Exhibit 7 is the red route to the northern section, and route B, which on Exhibit 7 is the southernmost route, which is blue on Exhibit 7. And we've also had some questions about some hybrid opportunities associated with those routes as well. Well, those routes were thoroughly looked at, and when you have a chance to take a look at the data information in the environmental assessment, this will become apparent as well that the impacts of going along route B, to the southern section, especially in the areas of Carrington and Cooperstown and the southern part of what we would term the I-29 corridor down in Trail County, were more significant than they were to go towards the northern route. We did look at the possibility of additional route segments from where we have chosen to go, where we are proposing to go across the Cheyenne River to move down to the southern route, but it doesn't eliminate enough of those environmental and impacts and avoidance criteria to warrant that as being a less impacting route. So that's primarily why Route A, or the red route on Exhibit 7, was selected over that southern route. In terms of the specific area that we've been talking about, if I could direct your attention to Exhibit 12J, this area of the alkaline flats that we've talked about there was identified fairly early on in the public meetings. We did get comments from the public at those public meetings. We were able to annotate on some of the maps that we had there at the public meetings, this area. We did hear concerns in regards to wildlife that was in the area, particularly avian wildlife. So it was an area that we were able to take a look at as part of the NEPA process that was in there. With our conversations with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the consultation that's ongoing with them, they have raised no concerns for this area for us. It's not a designated area, as we heard a testimony on earlier. So the impacts of that, taking a look at it, that was one of the things that we looked at. So in looking at different possible corridor options going through Grand Forks County in this area, really when you take a look at it, this is the corridor that has the least amount of impact, not only from the avoidance criteria, but also from an environmental perspective as well. One of the things we looked at is there already is a line that is there with a WAPA 230 KV line going through that area, and the impacts that we saw from siting another transmission line in that short area were minimal.
And that raises the next issue as far as paralleling. There were concerns raised about having two transmission lines in the same corridor. Were those considered, and what was the result of that consideration?
Yeah, as we heard testimony earlier, any time that we look at a corridor siting of a transmission facilities, we want to do a risk analysis or a risk-benefit analysis, if you will, in a consideration with other transmission lines that are in the area, and I think we heard some of that earlier. There were a couple of things in regards to the WAPA 230 KV line that we looked at that impacted. One is that, pardon me, it's a non-east-west line, so there's a lot less opportunity and impact for ice collection on the line, and that has to do with the diagonal portion of where it is, the way the line is running geographically on a diagonal there. Another consideration we had is that this is a relatively a short section. It's only about 5 miles or so that we're paralleling the WAPA 230 line. Another one is we're in very close proximity to Grand Forks, so in the event that a weather event were to take down both lines, the impact in terms of maintenance and repairs on that would be greatly reduced because we are in close proximity to the maintenance personnel. The most likely challenge that we would have to actually taking out both those lines simultaneously would be a tornado, kind of an event. The weather cases we designed for is going to eliminate most of the the higher straight line wind events. So it's really a tornado event that would have the most probability of taking out both lines in close proximity of that. That normally occurs during what we call the shoulder months in terms of load usage. So that further reduces that impact of that because the load being used is less during those shoulder months. The other thing is that WAPA 230 line and the proposed Center to Grand Forks line would terminate at two different locations. So there's additional reliability in terms of where those would terminate and where that power flow and where that power flow goes. So when we looked at the benefits of routing in parallel for that short section with a WAPA line versus the reliability risks, we felt that was the optimal routing location for the corridor.
And one of the questions was as far as the maintenance of the right of way itself. Is that clear cut? Is that mowed?
No, the only disruption short term during the construction along a right-of-way such as this is a removal of trees and obstacles that are going to have the potential to impact the safe operation of the line. In this area, there is no reason to mow along the right-of-way, or there is no reason to clear out native vegetation or grasslands that are in this area. That's actually one of the things that helps us out. There's not a wooded forest area in there that we have to clear out or anything. So, I mean, there will be some temporary impacts due to the construction activities, again, at each one of the structure locations, just to put the structure in. But then the only other impact that would be in between the structures would just be driving from one location to the other. And I think that working with landowners in the area and working with different groups that we could minimize those construction impacts by when we do construction as well.
And with respect to the concerns about the airport, have you discussed this route with the FAA and with the Grand Forks International Airport?
Yes, we have been in discussions with both Grand Forks Airport and with the Federal Aviation Administration. And as long as we are adhering to the non-precision approach path that they have, they see no safety concerns associated with where the corridor has been sited or where the corridor is being proposed, excuse me.
All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the commission on these issues that have been raised?
I can't think of anything at this time.
All right. I have no further questions.
Mr. Sags-Vane.
Thank you. I do have a few questions. And you talked about Exhibit 7. And do you have Exhibit 7 in front of you, or do you want to just look at the...
I can open it up.
And you indicated just now that some of the basis for choosing Route A was in Trail County. Was it some environmental issues in Trail County?
There were some wetland areas down there. There is a river, I believe it's called a Goose Creek, going through there, and there was a number of residences that were in that area. That's correct.
So was there anything in Grand Forks County that would have swayed you one way or another to avoid Route B or Route C and choose Route A?
Specifically looking at Grand Forks County, if that's the scope of that we're looking at, again, the major impacting factor inciting a corridor through a Grand Forks County was occupied residences and the density of those residences. So Route A or the proposed corridor that we're on has the least amount of those residences in close proximity.
And so for Route B and Route C, it was your belief that there were more residences in close proximity that would make it kind of prohibitive?
There was less? A higher density of residences in those areas. So when we looked at those were corridors evaluated. So if you're asking me, could we have routed a transmission line in those corridors, the answer would be yes. I mean, those are ones evaluated in the environmental assessment. However, Route A was the least impacting route.
Overall?
Route A in the environmental assessment was the least impacting corridor.
Okay.
Through that area and overall.
Do you have the... Could you pull the permit page out? I'm looking at a map. It's in Appendix B, page 55 of 55.
And that was Appendix Delta, what page?
B, Appendix B, as in boy, page 55 of 55.
55 of 65.
55 of 55.
Is there a figure number associated with that? Or a map number? I'm not seeing page
map,
numbers on Appendix
map 50,
B.
Map 55.
If I could walk over
sure.
with mine and
well,
take a look, maybe we could get on the same page,
I'll,
sir.
I'll come over.
That is Appendix Delta.
Mr. Sagsby, why don't you show that to Ms. Smith, too, please?
Oh, that's Appendix Delta, page 54, 55. Excuse me, page 55 of 55.
Thank you. I apologize.
No, that's fine. Now, let's identify for the record where you are, please.
I believe it is Appendix D, page 55 of 55. There is a map that illustrates three route possibilities. Is that correct? Or maybe
yes,
you could describe for me what you see on page 55 in Appendix D.
Absolutely. On page 55 of 55, In Appendix Delta, which is out of the environmental assessment, is a map showing the general location in the eastern portion of Grand Forks County, which shows the three route alternatives from the environmental assessment, which as they approach and come in at a Prairie substation.
And so for the record, there appears to be a red, green, and blue, and those are the three different route alternatives?
Yes, they are.
And so just from my layman's perspective, when I look at the green and blue, which are routes 2 and 3, or B and C?
That is correct.
It doesn't appear to me, and I can be stand corrected, it doesn't appear that there's a whole lot of population density around those routes. So if you could explain to me how population density or home density in that area factored into the analysis, I'd be interested to hear that.
Absolutely. When you look at page 55 of 55 in there, you are correct. When we look at residences that are in the immediate vicinity of those three corridor options, they are about the same. But when we do the analysis on the route in the environmental assessment, the analysis goes for the entire route through that area. And if we were to go back a few pages, we would see differences in the home density even within the corridor. For instance, if I could direct your attention one page back to where we look at page 54 of 55, we can see that that red band or Route A has no homes within the corridor. However, the green band, which is route C, has a home that is within the 1,000-foot corridor. And then on that page as well, route B, which is the blue band, has an occupied residency right in the middle of the corridor that we would be very challenged to route, you know, to meet the avoidance criteria of 500 feet through that area. So we can look on one individual map or another and kind of see, but when you look back and, you know, and actually look at a couple of counties or so, that's where we start seeing the difference in occupied residencies within the corridor.
Do you recall, I'd like to draw your attention to Exhibit 6.
Didn't mean to hit the mic. I am on Exhibit 6, sir.
When I look to the south and west of the Prairie substation indication on that map, it kind of looks like there was a consideration that was eliminated for a segment to go from Route A, which is the red line, over to the east. Do you recall why that might have been eliminated in that area? And can you see where I'm pointing out before you answer that question?
I believe what you were talking about on Exhibit 6 on the right-hand side of the page there, it shows a number of route segments in red that basically go from the southwest side of the diagonal portion on the proposed Route A and would then shift over to I believe that's Route C in that area. Is that the area that you're talking about, sir?
That's correct.
Okay. Right off the top of my head, I do not remember exactly why that route segment was eliminated or what the challenges were that were within that route segment. Certainly that is something that we could go back and take a look at and be prepared to talk about at one of the other hearings. I mean, I just do not have my notes for that right in front of me, sir.
Do you think your environmental analysis would have drilled down to that small of a component in the corridor, or would it have been a little bigger, broader than that?
I don't understand what you mean by drilling down to that small of a...
Well, I guess from a mileage perspective, that area, that's a pretty small part, and I guess...
Sure.
Whether or not you would have focused on an individual segment that small and said, we don't want to go east there, let's go northeast and then go by the airport and then over. I'm just curious whether or not there might have been a maybe an analysis or something specific for that area, but that might depend on kind of the overall analysis and whether or not you focus so specifically on small parts like that.
Well, there was an overall analysis to put together a viable corridor, or what in the environmental assessment is called a route, to look from one end to the other. So there was that overview that was done there, but also within the environmental assessment, and I don't know the table right off the top of my head for the numbers, but there is an analysis for each one of those 191 segments. So we did a drill down and look at each small segment that was in there and made our decisions as to the proposed corridor based on that detailed level of an analysis. So, yes.
So, just looking at the Appendix D, page 55 of 55 again, is there something that jumps out at you that you see just at off the top of your head that would prohibit the Route A to jog straight east instead of kind of go up and by the airport there?
Yeah. I believe what Mr. Leek, I believe, is who discussed this about going due east instead of paralleling the WAPA, a line that was in that area to help try to avoid some of those items. Just looking at that quickly, one of the challenges that we had was on the southern end, and I think it's a better look.
Before you go any further, why don't you identify what you're referring to when you say the southern end and then which map you're talking about?
Okay. If we look at the southern end of that diagonal portion where we parallel the WAPA line, the existing WAPA 230 kV line, which is depicted on maps page 54 of 55 and 55 of 55. So I believe the suggestion was to look at the map looking at the map on page 54 of 55 on that southwestern portion, and before we begin to parallel, I was going directly east out of that area. That was one of the segments that we looked at. Some of the challenges that we had is if I could draw your attention to page 54 or 55, if we went directly east through Fairfield Township, we end up with a number of large water body areas in section 23 of that area, which would have proposed a challenge to us to get around those. We also looked at taking the corridor as it comes in on the left side of page 54, 55, and shifting that south some to miss some of those larger water body areas. But again, if we were to work our way back to the west on pages 53, map 53 and 52, we see that the proximity of homes in that area did not make that a viable corridor option for us. But we did look at the possibility of going on those water bodies. The other challenge that we had in that area to go through there was if you look on page 54 or 55 in section 13, you'll see a darker area in the northeast side of 13. That is water that is standing the majority of the year, and that is part of the English Coulee retention system. And the further east and the further south you get in that English Coulee retention system, you end up running into larger water body areas, and in our discussions with the water board through that area, the suggestion was made to stay more west and north through that area because of the topography and the way the water collects through that through that area.
In Appendix D on page 55 of 55, this is my last question, where the where Route A goes north and WAPA keeps going to the northeast, you see where I'm
yes.
talking about? Couldn't you have gone straight east and to tap into one of the other route alternatives? Wouldn't that have been just as easy or easier than if you went all the way north up on into the Salt Flats area and then went back to the east?
It certainly is a possibility of a going there. The concern with making that turn to cross of the existing WAPA 230 line is there's a recreational area that is just south of where that eastern turn was made, and a part of our avoidance criteria when siting the corridors was to stay away from recreation areas as much as possible.
I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Leon.
That recreation area you were just talking about, is that on the map as an avoidance area?
Yes, the recreation area is annotated on page 55 of 55. It is a blue square with a black dot in it, and it resides right along 18th Street Northeast, or approximately 1.2 miles from where we make the north turn with the proposed corridor.
I think okay. That one. Right there.
Oh, okay.
Got it. Okay. I think that's all my questions for now.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Kramer.
Comment/question. To me, it's really obvious why you chose the corridor you chose. While some of the others are plausible, none of them avoid every single water body or occupied residence like the one you chose does. The irony is that the reason there are no occupied residences in the place you chose is because that's the alkali flats that are more conducive to critters than it is to people. And so we find ourselves in a little bit of a dilemma of what to protect. Between now and, I guess, the last hearing in Washburn, just speaking for myself, could you take just one more really good hard look at some alternative that maximizes the alternatives that, to use Brian's term, creates a hybrid for these last couple of miles. It is ironic that we might be the agency that protects something that no other agency, including the federal agencies that are charged with this, protect. Nonetheless, it's also an opportunity, perhaps, to do that. So I'm just pleading a little bit, and maybe maybe next Friday the case is even more convincing for you, but just if I could just ask you to
sure to help well us we'll take it. A look at that, and again we have looked at it in the past and believe that with the construction through that area and the impact that the proposed structures and foundations have, that they will be minimal impact in that area. But we will go back and take a look at it.
All right, thank you. Nothing else.
Commissioner Cobb?
I don't think I could have said what Kevin said any better, but I would agree with what he just said. I do have an extension question, though. You testified that you had discussion with the FAA about the transmission lines in the vicinity of the airport. You had discussion with the Grand Forks International Airport itself. Did you have any discussion with the UND School of Aviation?
Yes, they were present at the meetings that we had. There was a representative from the School of Aviation there. Actually, that representative pointed out some of the training areas that they use, in particular They would be in relatively close proximity to where the proposed corridor is in terms of helicopter training, where they do touch and goes in that area. And we have assured the University of North Dakota School of Aviation that we will work with them for line marking once we have a final route in that area. So whether that be aerial ball markers, so that we can make sure that the pilot trainees can clearly see the location of the line.
Do you have anything written from the School of Aviation or the airport that says they are okay with this?
I do not believe that we have anything in writing at this point in time. We have just had discussions with them.
I think that's something I would be looking for, is that this is potentially significant. And I don't know who the rep was from the UND School of Aviation. Was it the president? Was it someone down the food chain? So I'm not sure the best way to proceed with that. This is a very significant issue to me, as well as the others. I'm sure that we've got to have someone, I think, of that has the ability to make the decision, has to say that this will not affect their operations. And agreeing verbally to work with you is different, I think, than saying we think it's a good idea. I know the project isn't all fleshed out, but it would be nice to know who at the School of Aviation that you've talked to. So is there a way that we can get that as well?
Yes, we can go back to our meeting notes and get the name of the representative that was there. The approval for that area comes from the FAA, from the Federal Aviation Administration. So that's what the approval is. And I think it's important to note that there's other transmission lines closer to the airport than we are, and we will not be at a height that's any higher than those other transmission lines as well. So the plane, this non-precision approach surface that the FAA and Grand Forks Airport has established was based on the height of those other transmission lines. With us being at or below that height, the safety potential in there does not increase and does not infringe upon that non-instrument approach path.
Okay. And I know it's late, and I don't want to say something I'll regret tomorrow, too, but the FAA has their responsibility, but we have ours, too. Just because the FAA says it's okay doesn't mean that we would agree with that if we have someone from the school that says they're not, as okay with it. So if you could get that, who you talked to at the School of Aviation, I don't know if we want to call that a late-filed exhibit or if we can just enter it tomorrow, that'd be very helpful.
We can certainly contact them and have that discussion with them about getting that documentation.
Think they'd be willing to come say in a hearing that they're okay with working with you?
I don't know if they'd be willing to come to the hearing tomorrow, but
okay.
we can certainly inquire and ask.
I think
them.
That would go a long ways, because there's been concerns. If someone from the school came and said they're willing to work with you, that would go a long ways, I think. If we end up going with that northern route, that could be significant.
I understand.
So thank you.
Anything further from the commission? Follow up, Ms. Smith.
I would just ask: does the preferred or the proposed corridor that is submitted in the application satisfy all of the commission's siting criteria?
Yes, it does.
That's all the questions I have.
Mr. Sagsveen.
I have no additional questions.
Mr. Leon.
No questions.
Anything further from the commission? All right. Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you.
Anything further, Ms. Smith?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Sagsveen, anything further for the record?
I don't have anything further at this time, Your Honor.
Great. Closing comments from the commission. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you to everyone, including the applicant, for a very good, thorough hearing, and just a very special expression of appreciation again to the school for your hospitality, your patience, and your, many of you maybe don't know, but he went to extraordinary measures to allow us to stay here, and so we appreciate your leadership as well. Thank you.
Commissioner Cog.
Just also thank everyone for, it's been a long day, it's been good testimony, good discussion. The only comment I would add, though, is that a lot of discussion about the commission's siting criteria, And we are constantly looking at that because in this ever-changing energy development field, what's going on in the state, we're constantly looking at our siting criteria because it we need to make sure what we have in our own criteria reflects what's going on out there. So thank you.
The portion of the hearing in the matter of Minn Kota Power Cooperative, Inc., 345 kilovolt transmission line, center to Grand Forks, North Dakota Public Service Commission, case number PU-09-670, scheduled to be held June 16, 2011, is closed. Thank you.